We're in a series which I appreciate keeps getting interrupted week on, week off, called Hearing the Master's Voice. How do we hear what God has to say to us? Because although we often talk about how important that is, hearing what God has to say to us, most of us at the same time find it quite a challenging thing to do. We started by asking whether we should even expect to hear from God. Is that just outrageously arrogant of us? Well, the answer to that was a confident yes, we should expect to hear from God, because God has created us for intimate friendship with himself. And friendship implies not just a list of instructions, but an actual conversation. We also talked about motives. Whether we have the right motives for hearing from God, because it's very easy to just want to hear to have some sort of protection from the future, or to avoid personal responsibility for things. We just want to hear these instructions from God as to what to do and not bear any responsibility for taking the initiative ourselves. And that's not what God actually wants, because responsibility and initiative are at the heart of our relationship with God. We are not robots, and God doesn't want to work with robots. And last time, we came back to that idea of relationship, an intimate relationship, and we saw that at the heart of the idea of hearing from God is basically building our relationship with God, a relationship which goes through lots of different stages, just like any relationship does, but which can and must progress beyond just a blind faith or a vague awareness of God's presence, beyond even the experience of a God who acts in us and through us in powerful ways. So, we're still not quite ready to talk about specific ways in which God speaks. We are coming to that soon, I promise. But this week, we're going to look at some vital prerequisites for our hearing God, things that we need to get serious about first before we can expect to hear from him. The first one is obvious. In fact, it's so stunningly obvious that many people don't actually bother doing it. In order to hear God, you need to listen to him. In order to hear God, you need to listen to him. By and large, the way God works is that he speaks to people who are actually listening to him. Very occasionally, he will blast into someone's life in a way that simply can't be ignored. So, for example, Saul in Acts 9 is on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians there when God literally knocks him off his horse in order to make him listen. Occasionally you get things like that, but by and large, God simply doesn't do that. God will not compete for our attention. Just remember how we started this series. We talked about God designing us for intimate friendship with him, for conversation. I'm sure many of you will have had the experience of being in the middle of a conversation with someone, and while they're speaking, you get distracted by something else. And you know, you're looking somewhere else or doing something. And after a while, you realize that they've just stopped speaking. And they're looking at you, waiting for you to start listening again. God does that. He waits until he has our attention, until we're actually seeking him and listening to him. And that implies something active and intentional on our part. And let's face it, that does not always describe us. A lot of the time, we are not actively seeking God. In fact, some of the time, we don't even want to hear God. Some of Jesus' deepest teachings are about hearing. He taught in parables so that those who did not really want to hear the truth could avoid it. He knew that not everyone has ears for the straightforward purpose of hearing. Some people use their ears to sift out only what they want to hear and leave the rest aside. One of his most repeated sayings was, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." But he also urged his hearers to make a great effort to hear. We often talk about how when we're coming to faith in Christ, when we're looking for that grace that he provides, we don't have to do anything. He's done it all. And that's so true. But it's very easy to then start saying, actually, we don't have to do anything at any point in the Christian life. And that's absolute nonsense, because there are lots of things that we do have to make a big effort to do. And one of the things is making an effort to hear. Look at this in Mark 4. If you've got your Bible, do by all means turn to it. Mark chapter 4, and this is verses 23 to 25. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You may have something slightly different. Mark 4:23. Jesus said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Then he added, "Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." In other words, Jesus is saying, we need to make an effort to hear God. We need to put some work into it. So, the obvious question there is, how do we do that? How do we put effort into hearing God? Now, it's time for you to do some work here. I want to get some ideas from you as to how we might make an effort to hear God. What does that mean in practice? I'd like you to just turn to two or three people next to you and think of some ways in which we can put effort into listening to God. Go. Okay. Give me some ideas, some practical ways in which we can make an effort to hear God. What does that mean in practice? Set aside time for what? To be with God. Excellent. Set aside to be with. Thank you. Set aside time to be with God. Well, he is with us all the time, but doesn't necessarily mean that we're always concentrating on him all the time. So, fair enough, fair enough. Any others? Being quiet before him. Thank you. Thank you. Be attentive to a still small voice. Thank you, Keith. Okay. Calm. Well, yeah, but I'll write that down. That's helpful. Calm your mind. Yeah, because being quiet isn't, obviously, it's not just physically quiet. It's actually quieting your mind. That's helpful. If you're totally deaf, God might come through different ways. Yes, thank you. God speaks in different ways. Yep. In a dream. Excellent. So the example is walking, but let me widen that to say putting yourself in places and opportunities where God will speak to you. Making opportunities for God to speak to you. Thank you. Turning off the TV. The TV and your mobile phone. What was that prioritization? Yeah. Excellent. Meditating on scripture. Yep. Any others? Pray. Hallelujah. I'm so glad somebody said pray. Okay, excellent. Thank you. That's great, yeah. I'd already written down, just as I was thinking about this, prayer. We've got Bible study. One of the main ways in which God speaks to us, by no means the only way, but one of the main ways that God speaks to us is through the Bible. He will not do that if we're not reading the Bible. Meeting with people. I don't think we've got meeting with people. Lots of ways in which we are alone with God, which are really important. But actually, another way in which God speaks is through other people. And so meeting with people, putting yourselves in situations where God may speak, either on your own or with other people, really, really important. Thank you for that. That's helpful. Just on that note, Lindsay, where's Lindsay? There she is. Do you want to just share something that happened to you, really, while we were away this week, in terms of meeting with other people? Oh, good, she says. Thank you.
I feel quite nervous giving this little tale, but anyway, on holiday last week, I was so aware, well, you are on holiday, aware often of God's goodness in your life because you're away from your commitments, you have time off, you have time together. We were up on the north coast and the weather was just fab, it was lovely. And then this Grenfell fire was on the news and terrorism has been on the news. And I was thinking, what a contrast between the times in our lives when you have everything going right and then just with a second everything can change. And that song, actually, through the sun, through the rain, you never change. The only thing that doesn't change, clearly, is God. But we forget that so easily. So I got up one morning, and I was so aware of God's goodness in every way in our lives. All of our children, I think, have... I know. Callum's just been offered a really good job. Gillian has just been offered a really good job. Kirsten is graduating. We are happy. The church is lovely. You are amazing. Peebles is great. The sun is shining on our lives. Yet again, being freelance, another month had gone by and I had earned what we needed to live on. Everything in our lives was sunny. And I felt it would be so easy to forget God's goodness in this and be complacent. And I know your house above the door, you have Expect a Miracle written. And we probably need to remind ourselves that this is not because of us, the goodness, it's because of God. And it could all change. And would I still be feeling so chipper and happy if everything changed? And I just prayed that day, God, please don't make me complacent. Please today let me know how to serve you. And we went down to the beach to walk the dog. Ian had to do a phone call, so I got out. And there was this amazing huge beach, miles of it. So I just started walking. And then Cara, being Cara, ran up to this only other person on the beach, in the whole beach. And her dog started playing with my dog, so I just started, as you do, you talk to dog walkers. And her story was of the rain. She had lost her job through mental health problems. Her marriage had broken down. Her son has Asperger's. She'd felt so dark that week, she'd felt of taking her life. And so here was me in the sun, and here was her in the rain. And then she said, but I just walked into this church the other week, a Baptist church, and I met with Jesus. And I was like, wow. And she said, my life has changed. I have hope, even though I still have terribly dark times. And we walked for a good hour, probably. And she told me the whole story. And none of this is about me. The next bit I'm going to say, none of this is about me. We had just been given some money that we weren't expecting. So everything was really chipper for us. We could go out for dinner if we wanted. We could, whatever. And then she said, having met with God, I know that I will be okay. And I said, you will be okay. That's amazing. You've really encouraged me with your story. And then she said, I don't know what I'm going to do this week because I have no money for the week. And she wasn't saying it in any way to ask. All she then said was, God will meet my needs. I don't know how, but I know now that God will meet my needs. And I was like, she's just met Jesus. She now trusts. She's going through the rain. I'm in the sun. So I'm like, well, we have a divine appointment with the cash machine because I have something to give you. And it's not from me. It's from God because I don't really need it. And we've known times when we haven't had and we've worried. I said, you're absolutely right. You've encouraged me to remember that it's all from God. So we just did a wee thing. We gave her a wee gift. And she blessed us, I think, more than I blessed her, or we blessed her, because she reminded me that God is faithful. And it's just made me think about us as a church. We're going through a big thing of trying to do something massive, aren't we? And we may not think we have the resources, and we don't have the resources, but God does. And if we have open hands to give and trusting hearts to receive, that's what will happen. Whatever he wants us to do, we'll be able to do, not because we can do it, but because he can. But I think it just reminded me this week, when you ask God to use you, you will be used. And also, God will remind you of his truths. And that's a woman who didn't know him a couple of weeks ago. Is that not amazing? That she met him in her point of need. And her life is undoubtedly saved in every way. And she just got a job. And she'd been at her house group and she'd been told she had been given a job caring for people as they came out of hospital. So praise the Lord. Her name is Mairead. You can pray for her. She said, please pray for me. That was her main thing. Please pray for me. So I felt blessed, and I felt like God reminded me that if you ask him to speak and use you, you will be used. But also the big message for us, I think, is he has plenty and he wants to give it if we are. So I hope that fitted in.
Thank you, Lindsay. That happened because both Lindsay and Mairead were listening for God to speak. And so that first question is, are you listening to God? If you want to hear him, are you listening? And there are other questions which are closely related to that, but are slightly different. Are you expecting God to speak? Are you inviting him to speak to you? Are you watching out for different ways in which he might be speaking to you? These are all related to this idea of active listening. Am I on, or have I died? It is on, yeah. What difference would it make to you if you knew with absolute certainty, with absolute confidence, that God was going to speak to you today? If you got up in the morning and knew that by the end of the day, you will have heard from God. That might be in the form of his revealing something new about himself to you, or about his purposes for you, or it might be in the sense of him putting you into contact with someone else, or his showing you something in Scripture. Maybe you might find an anonymous envelope with some money you needed pushed under your door. Who knows? There are all sorts of things he might do to speak to you. But the point is, he is going to be speaking. You just need to be listening and watching for it. What difference would it make to you if you knew with absolute confidence that God was going to speak to you today? The more I think about it, the more I realize that this would be a really helpful exercise for me. Each morning, maybe it would be for you too. As I swing my legs out of bed in the morning, for me to say to myself, God is going to speak to me today. I don't want to miss it. So I'm going to listen and watch. Another question which is linked to that, but again is slightly different, is, are you in tune with God? Are you in tune with God? Even on a human level, it is very common for us not to hear people who are speaking to us, because sometimes we just tune out. Possibly some of you have now tuned out anyway. I wonder if it's ever occurred to you, in fact, just how many messages are passing through your body at any given moment. I'm talking about radio programs, television programs, mobile phone conversations, Wi-Fi data from the internet, all passing through our bodies and our brains at all hours of the day. Even as I stand here, there is stuff passing literally through my body. Messages that an appropriately tuned receiver could just pluck from the air that we breathe. So how do we tune in to God? I've mentioned, we've mentioned at least some of the ways already. Prayer, Bible study. The more time we spend in conversation with God and in meditation on his word, the more we get to know him. The deeper our relationship grows, and so the more we tune into him. Those aren't the only ways to tune in to God by any means, but they are two hugely important ones, prayer and Bible study. Conversely, there are ways in which we can tune God out or generate interference so that we can't hear him. If you are holding on to bitterness or unforgiveness, if there are areas in your life which you have locked away from God, if there are thoughts or actions which you know to be wrong, but that you persist in, you choose to persist in, all these things will act to stop us hearing God. Those things are called sin. Things that get between us and God and damage the relationship that we have with him. And that leads me to one final question, which I'll put to you today, which is this. Are you ready to do something with what God tells you? I was suggesting in the previous question that there are things in our lives, choices we make, which can have the effect of dulling our senses to hear God. But sometimes they can go further than that. For someone who says that God doesn't speak to them, it may be that they are being spoken to and they simply don't hear. But it may also be that they could make no good use of a word from God because of how they're living. And so God actually doesn't speak to them. So here's the challenge on this. Are you standing ready to obey and change if God directs that? Do you want to know if you are on a wrong path? In general, it is a good thing for God to speak to us, but in individual cases, there may be reasons why it would be best for God to speak very little or even not at all if we are simply not prepared to do anything with what he says. Because here's the thing, God's guidance is not a gimmick that we can keep on tap for our benefit. It is not there to enable us to beat our competitors in business. We can't use it to help us win bets on football matches or on horse races or to prove that something is theologically correct. It is available to every person who walks with God, but it is not at our disposal as we see fit without regard to the purposes of God. Jesus' disciples once asked him to teach them how to pray, and so he replied, "When you pray, say this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so it goes on, as you know. But just think about that introduction to the Lord's Prayer and how it expresses the purposes of God's activities in us. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Hearing God is a reliable day-to-day reality for people with good sense. It's for those who are devoted to the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. It's for the disciple of Jesus Christ who has no higher desire than to be like him. And when our lives are devoted to the will of God, he has reason to speak to us. If our lives are not devoted to his purposes, he may still speak to us. He may even use us for his purposes if we are strategically placed. After all, we are his creatures, no matter how misguided or rebellious. But for a willing walk in conscious, loving cooperation with God, we've got to come to get to grips with the issue, what are we living for? We must face that clearly. Maybe that you have never come to the place where you can truly say, I am living for one thing and one thing only, to be like Christ, to do his work, and to live among his people and serve them and him in this world. My life is to bless others in the name of Christ, of God. If you've not come to that place, then the question that normally arises is, how do you hear the word of God? Maybe replaced for you by the question, what would you do if you did hear the word of God?